Let's give a great big hand of praise for those pastors who have a passion and a love to hear the gospel, get the gospel out there to those that are suffering. And it really is. And, you know, we're all suffering. We're all fighting a battle and we're all suffering. And I'm glad those that are here today and those that are listening, we do have a great large amount of people that are logging on the website, which is, you know, exciting. You hear this and know that there are many, many people out there and they're actually thanking you. Hey, thanks for the message. That was really good. It was touching. You know, it really made an impact in my heart. I'd love to see them come out, but I know a lot of traveling distance and stuff like that interferes. But with that all being said, we're 2018, and I feel in my heart that make sure that we begin to understand how to get into the kingdom of God or how to find this path that God has always laid on our heart to find and to stay on this path, because this path is so important. It's life. And when we're not on this path, we don't have life. And it's very important for us to find a life. We need to find a life. Most people think that finding a life is just finding a career or something of that nature, having a family, you know, wife, husband, children, you know, whatever it is. They believe that that is having a life. But that's not really having a life. A life is finding peace and joy and having a clean conscience or a form of righteousness. You know, it's nice to have people in your lives. But when you can find that intimacy with our Heavenly Father, He draws all of them into your life. You won't be without anyone in your life. You'll never be alone. And to find a life is very important. To lose a life, I want to say it's a bad thing, but actually it's a good thing. Because the life that we think we have, we need to lose it. And that life that we need to lose is in our head. I thank the pastors for laying a platform down to where this message is going today. Because there are two places. There's one, the world. And then there's one called the kingdom of God. Or the heavenly place. Or not of this world. The not of this world, the heavenly place, or the kingdom of God, is right here, inside of us. The world is in our head. I'm going to try to make it as simple as possible for us to really enter into the will of God or enter into a life, the life that He laid out for us. And to come out of the head, like Pastor Tim said earlier, it's enmity against God. The mind is enmity. God doesn't like the mind. This is the access or the dwelling place where darkness lives. Darkness lives in the mind. I spoke a message about spiritual warfare, and I spoke about the powers, the wickedness, the principalities in high places. I want you to log back on to last week's message and tune into it. And I'm going to speak a little bit more about darkness, because we need to understand what we're fighting. What are we fighting? God says, if we overcome, I will grant you a seat next to me. What are we overcoming? What are we trying to war against? What are we trying to beat against? What is our purpose in this finding a life? Oh, I'm finding a life. I got my career, I got my children, I got the house, I got the wife, I got the car, I got it all, I got a life. Woo! Is it really a life? When inside I'm decaying, I'm rotting, I'm dying, I'm drowning. Does anyone ever feel like they were so deep into the ocean, and not a good ocean, because there's a good ocean that I love to be deep in, but an ocean where you just feel like you're swimming up top and you can never get to the very top just to take that big gulp of air? Has anyone ever felt that way, drowned and just so deep under? Well, this is where we think we have a life. That's no life. So we have to understand how to get out of that and be able to get that breath of fresh air so that we can live. And that way of living is understanding the enemy. We need to understand the enemy. The mind is where the enemy camps. The mind is where the enemy camps. You might not think so, because you've been living in that mind for a very long time with reasonings, trying to figure it out. But the mind is the dwelling place of darkness. Depending on how much darkness encamps in your mind. Now we want to cast down those thoughts and throw them at our feet. Has anyone ever read those scriptures? Grab every thought that exalts itself over the knowledge of God and cast it down. We need to grab the thoughts that exalts itself over the knowledge of God and cast them down. Now, where is the knowledge of God? What is that that exalts itself over the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God rests right inside of our soul, right inside of our inner being, right inside the inner man, right inside here. Now, I say the soul first because we have to become born again. So for those that are listening, we haven't quite gotten to that place of being born again. So we still are trying to transform into the Spirit. By transforming into the Spirit and truly becoming born again, guess what you just did? You basically cut off the thoughts and you're living here. You know, you can actually live here. It's amazing. Some people think it's impossible. Some people think it's impossible to live in their heart because they're only like temporary feelings. Every once in a while you get a little passion or a little excitement. But the majority of our lives where we're living is up in our thoughts, in our minds. Darkness encamps up here. Very rarely do you ever think good things. Think about your thoughts all day long. Where are they? Oh my God, I gotta hurry up. How about just that thought alone? Oh my God, I gotta hurry up. Oh my God, I'm running late. Oh my God. Think about our thoughts on a daily basis. Where are they? And God says, meditate on these things above. He wants you to change the way your thoughts are. And those thoughts are always talking negative, aren't they? We see something, all of a sudden we're turning it around and we're entertaining it. Do you know that that is a form of worship? When you entertain your thoughts, that is a form of worship. When God says, who are you going to choose this day? He really is saying, are you going to choose the thoughts that enter into your mind? Or are you going to enter the law that is written on your heart? Are you going to live the life that I have given you that is written on your heart? Or are you going to take that thought that has entered into your mind where it is coming on a daily basis? Do you know that your heart has been written and established since the day you were put on this earth? And everything is right there. It's everything that you feel, everything that you desire, everything. And you know, they never change. They build on. When I desired something and I reached that level, I said, wow, there's more. And I kept increasing, but that was God increasing, I want to call it blessings. Because when you reach the desires of your heart, how do you feel? You feel good, don't you? You feel like you succeeded, or you overcame, or you're in this blissful place of joy and peace. Anything that you enter into your heart, you're entering into the kingdom of God. But with the mind, there's a doorway that leads to destruction. And when you open that door and you allow thoughts to come in, they're all negative. They're all negative. I used to share with Pastor Sam, and we would come into a discussion, and he would say something that was troubling him. And I would say to him, "Who told you that? Where did it come from? Who told you that?" And I said that to get him to be aware of what is entering into the mind. Like, oh my God, you're right. Who said that? Where did it come from? How did it get there? We need to understand. There are realms that are around us. We just can't see them. Now, I thank God for the testimony that Pastor Kurt said earlier about his wife and how she saw an individual and said, "Wow, I see darkness. I see such a darkness that it took on a form of possession, where that possession, it's going to be very difficult to get that person to change the way they're thinking." We fall into captivity. And when we fall into captivity, it's very difficult to be set free. Our minds encamped around us put a grip on us, and it puts us in a form of prison. And we need to break out of prison. We need to break out. So we need to throw or cast down these imaginations. If we don't know the war, we can't win it. If we don't know our enemy, we can't win it. If we don't understand this truth, we cannot overcome and be set free. It's not going to happen. You can take all the religious truths out there, but if you don't see the enemy coming in and planting these little tiny seeds, did anybody ever hear of a little leaven spoils a whole bunch? Do you know that you can plant in a little negative thought and then you entertain it? When you entertain it, you're actually worshiping the thought. The more you worship it, the bigger it gets. It's like you're watering it and you're tilling it and you're watering it and giving it sunshine. Well, not sunshine, but darkness. But you're entertaining it over and over and over. And the more you entertain it, the more you give it power. And the more you give it power, the greater it grows, the stronger it has a hold on you. And the greater it has a hold on you, it derails you. It derails you from the path that God has laid for you. And these are the things that we have to be very, very careful about. It begins to derail us from the will of God. For example, has anyone ever looked into the mirror? Oh God, throw them mirrors away, right? Has anyone ever looked in the mirror and maybe saw a little imperfection? And then you go and look in the mirror again, and that little imperfection got bigger. How many are victims of that? I know an individual one time who, you know, gets involved in popping pimples. Has anyone ever popped a pimple before? Man, I'll tell you what. You find one pimple, and you're popping that one pimple. Come on, we've all been there. And then next thing you know, oh my God, there's another one. And then you by the end of the day, you picked your whole entire face. You come out, and you look like you got pizza on your face. Like, what happened to you? Well, I found this one, and then I started digging over here, and then I started digging, and then I started going for the deep ones, and then I started really going for them, and next thing you know, it's like, ah! What the heck did you do? Well, that's the same way as the mind works. The mind looks into the mirror start seeing all this negative, and then we entertain it, and by the time we're all done, we're a hot mess. It's like, who told you? We have to come out of the mind. We got to break free. Darkness is a deceiver. It never speaks truth. Never. It always is trying to destroy your life. So if you want to think about this, your mind is always there to destroy your life. You wouldn't think that way because the mind wants to say other things. It wants to deceive you. What is a deceiver? Think about it. Someone that comes in like an angel of light, but really wants to derail you and take you off your path. Someone who comes in like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Has anyone heard that before? And it's out there, taking away the children of God, pulling them from their life. And I want to say that we're all called. We all fall short of the glory, but we're all called. This is why it's important. And the meaning of church is to be a family, so to say, so that we can be that one to each other to say, who told you? To be able to get in your face and say, why are you thinking that way? Stop it. Because we need to be built up, right? We need help. If we are alone, we are weak. We are weak individuals, subject to the deception. And when we're alone, sitting there, how many people are just minds are wheeling away? And then they got to keep busy to keep their thoughts settled down. I know I used to be one of those individuals. I had to keep myself busy so that I didn't let the mind tear me apart. I think I became a workaholic because of that. And then that took a toll on itself because you didn't know when to rest. But it helped my thoughts. Before my life was changed, I had some bad thoughts. Then I took, you know, what you call alcohol, drugs, and all that other stuff to help my mind settle itself down because I couldn't take the thoughts. They were just always there. They were always attacking me until finally God came into my life and saved me. Now my thoughts are in Him. But now He showed me how to. At first, and I'm going to share what transpired. He taught me worship. He taught me to praise and be thankful and grateful in everything. He began to start teaching me how to see the goodness rather than the badness. And then as I began to start looking at all the goodness rather than the badness, then He began to start showing me where life really was. When we're focusing on the negatives and the badness, I know Pastor Kurt was mentioning something earlier about complaining. You know, he says, I'm done. I don't want to be pulled into that. I want to get away from it. How easy is it for us to be pulled into complaining, murmuring, whining, not looking at the good, but we're always the negative. It starts real small. Now, life is always going to come to us, and it's not going to be a bed of roses all the time. It's just not. That's why we need patience. And the more we wait on the Lord, He renews our strength like eagles, the wings. We need to begin to stop the complaining and the murmuring. But what we're doing is we're entertaining and worshiping the dark side. It's hard to believe, isn't it? You know, God says, you confess me with your lips, but your heart is so far from me. Why do you think he says that? Because we're living in the mind, and we say, oh, thank you, Lord. And then we're right back going, oh, blah, 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 oh, it'll never work. Blah, 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 blah. And we're just constantly entertaining the thoughts of the mind. And that's why he says, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is so far from me. We need to bring our hearts into play. We need to begin to start saying, I need to dwell inside of my heart. And the way to get there is to thank, be grateful. You know, there's a story in the Bible. And I look at it as one of them more metaphorically stories. Did I get that word right? Metaphorically? Metaphorical. I had an audible voice speak to me about 2 weeks ago. And I got so excited that it's actually a real word. It's called metaphorical or metaphorically. And what that is it's an example of something that's true. But at the same time, you know, it's you have to look beyond. And I look at the story of Moses when you had the Israelites, you know, praying to be set free. And Moses comes in and goes to Pharaoh and says, set my people free. And their hearts are saying, if I could only be away from this slavery. And Moses broke them away and took slavery out of their lives, gave them a place. But the place where they started heading was in the desert. There was nothing in the desert. There wasn't even food. There was just sand. And they were walking through the desert, and they weren't happy. Matter of fact, they were so happy, they were so not happy, that they wanted to go back to slavery. Now, I want to share with everybody. In the beginning, when you begin to start separating yourself from your captivity, and you start breaking away from the dark world, the dark side, I call it, and you want to enter into paradise, you're going to come to a desert. This is where some say you go back to your vomit. Nobody likes to be in the desert. It's a place where you feel alone. It's a place where you feel like there's no hope. It's a very interesting transition. Has anyone ever felt that way before, where you just try to want to find a new life, and then you kind of start searching, and then all of a sudden you feel all alone, and well, you're in a desert. That's all you are. You're just in the desert. But that place, when you're in the desert, is not a bad place. That's when you really need to start rejoicing and be happy, because you broke out of jail. You broke out of prison. You broke out of slavery. But our nature, because we've worshiped darkness for so long, we build up what I want to call it bad habits. And we tend to go back to our bad habits. We tend to say, well, life was probably better when, you know, I seemed to have more attention. You know, Pastor Sant was talking about a message that was spoken about hidden pain. And he's still chewing on that message. And I'm very grateful, because there's a lot in there. And he's seeing a lot. But one of the things about that hidden pain is it finds a way to be petted or comforted. You know, misery loves company. And misery ends up creating a whole fan tale of friends, you know, and they got a whole groupie over there. But when you reach that desert place and your groupies aren't there anymore, you feel a little alone. And it's like you can't take it anymore, because you're all alone. You're not getting that attention. You're not getting fed. You're not getting petted. You're not, you know, you're not feeding that life that you are so familiar with, that life that was leading you to destruction and didn't know it, but yet you thought it was life because you were getting the attention that you wanted. Man, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? It's like that life that is leading me to destruction, the one that pets me and coddles me, is really only there to destroy me, but I'm loving it. Huh. And then when you give it an effort to go into the other realm, and you reach that point of being in the desert, you don't know what to do. You start complaining. You start whining, and you can't take it anymore. And you go right back to the vomit, or you go right back to the old habits, or you go right back to the pattern. Now, this is the dangerous part. Now, you actually take on the cloak or the form of righteousness, but you deny the truth. And now you end up receiving, I call it the mantle of judgment. That's a crazy thing. You become that righteous judge, and you start pointing fingers at everybody else and telling everybody else of what they're doing wrong, and you start lifting yourself up into that righteous place, and it gets horrible. And then there's like no point of return after that. Birds of a feather start flocking together, and then you end up finding another group to hang out with. And then you hang out with the righteous people that turn around and just point fingers at everybody. The moral of this message is understanding who your enemy is. Understand the darkness and the thoughts that enter into our minds. They're like, it's a gateway. If you open up your mind and you entertain the thoughts, I said last week how they drip down into your heart and cause black spots. And you don't want a dark heart or a stony heart. You know that black spots, when they drip down in there, they get hard and they get bitter and they get angry. And that bitterness and that anger feeds off and transforms you on the outside. How many people understand that one? When you have hurts and your heart has anger, it actually comes out on the outside. You look like this. You look mean. You look like, like you want to beat everybody up. And you're like, someone says, hey, why don't you be a little, I am happy. And you're like, real edgy. And it's like, whoa, okay, run. And, you know, someone who is, you know, bright or, you know, trying to find that light side of their life, you know, can see that. And they run. And then that person's wondering why nobody wants to be around them. And it's like, did you look in the mirror? Did you actually look at yourself? And then they go right back. One pimple's winning. So keep them out of the mirror. But we want to really look at the condition of our inside. And the condition of our inside really comes through the way we think, how we meditate. And if you think and dwell on good things, it's going to drip down into your heart and make your heart soft and mushy and lovable. But if you think about negatives and worries and fears, and you dwell on those areas that'll never work, and you look in the mirror and you don't like yourself, and you see all these imperfections, and nothing is working out right, and everything is just horrible, how many people can hear me? Has anyone been there before? My God, I've seen people that have, I want to say, everything in the palm of their hand. And they still see a world that is not good. And I'm saying, why are you looking through those ugly eyes? You need to change the way you're seeing things. You're blessed. Why are you saying that you're not blessed? You're fortunate. Why are you saying that you're not fortunate? I don't understand. Now, here's some things that help you, that could help you. Look at somebody who's a little bit misfortunate. Look at someone who is a little less blessed. Look at, you know, the poverty or the negative things that are going on in the world and say, woo, you know what? I don't have it too bad. It could be worse. This helps remove what Pastor Sam was saying before, the hidden pain. You know, we have hidden pain because we're worshiping the wrong God. We need to understand what God to worship. This darkness, the wickedness, the powers, the principalities, these things are real. They're real. A lot of people don't want to, I guess, entertain that thought. They have put darkness as, you know, the devil with the fork and tail, you know. But if they really knew, I've seen darkness. For one, I'm going to tell you right now, they have no power at all. They're a lie. They're very frail. They're more scared than you are. They crank up. I'm trying to describe it the best way I can. And they're very fearful. But yet they lie as if they're very powerful and very strong. And they deceive. They are constantly deceiving. And because we don't really understand who they are, we believe it. And they talk very nice. They talk like they are your best friend, and nobody else understands. Nobody. Nobody knows how you're feeling. Nobody. Nobody understands you. Nobody knows how you're feeling. You're all alone. And they talk to you in such a familiar voice. And they become the only thing that you actually trust. And the only thing that you actually believe in. And you embrace that voice. And you embrace it so much that you make that the lover of your soul. The lover of who you are. And the whole time, from the very beginning, it meant to drag you to a bad place. From the very beginning, it meant to destroy everything that you hoped for. Even though it's painting a picture as if it's helping you achieve it, it's stealing from you and pulling you away from even getting close to it. And it does it through very sly ways. You have to understand, darkness is older than you and much wiser than you. And it's been around for centuries. And it's so smart. So wise, cunning, deceiver, and it deceives us day in and day out, night after night, day after day, week after week, all the time. And it comes across as your best friend. Is anyone starting to see? Is anyone grabbing what I'm saying here? Because awareness destroys its power. That's why God wants us to have eyes to see and ears to hear. so that we can begin to hear and see, because awareness destroys the powers of darkness. And without awareness, you're not destroying anything. You're walking around empowering an ego that is just set up for destruction. You're establishing a realm of pride that is ready for a fall. And this is why humility and brokenness in the eyes of God overpowers darkness. And darkness cannot live in that realm. It flees. We tend to defend ourselves. We tend to justify. How many people can walk away from an argument? I know sometimes I can't. It's real difficult to walk away from an argument. It's real difficult to keep your mouth shut. A godly person will just walk away. Doesn't matter if they're right or wrong. They'll just simply say, I can see I'm not getting anywhere. Talk to the hand. I can see that this isn't really helping much. I understand. No, you don't. They're quick to say they don't. You don't understand. You don't know how I feel. I can see now where we're going. That's the light. In a dark place. Light has an awareness of the darkness. And then the darkness will flee. If you resist, it will flee. Starts in the thoughts. My prayer is that we would all have eyes to see and be aware of darkness so that we can overcome the darkness not only in our own lives, but those around us too. You know, the last thing you want to do, and I remember this so well, so vivid, like it was yesterday, but it happened like 18, 20 years ago or whatever it was. But I had an angel visit me in a form of a man, and he had some color too. And that man jumped in my truck, and he goes, what's wrong, brother? And I looked at him, and I said, I'm just having a bad day. And he said to me, don't let the devil steal your joy. And it made an impact in my heart. And he walked out of my truck, and I'm over here backing it up. And I turn, and I'm in this big open field. And I'm looking around for him because I thought he was going to help me direct back, you know. And he was gone. And at that time, that's when I knew it was an angel. How many of us realize that you never know when you might be entertaining an angel? I thank God that I had awareness to see it was an angel. I could have entertained the lies. Oh no, that wasn't an angel. He just happened to just run through the meadows and lay down somewhere so you couldn't see him. Or whatever it might have been. Some kind of lie to keep me from the truth. But it was an angel. And that impacted me by saying, don't let the devil steal your joy. Now, how many of us are living a life, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's not an easy life. All of us go through hardship. Do I get a big amen on that one? You might get a good day here and a good day there, but the next day is going to be difficult. You're going to run into trials and tribulations. You're going to run into some hardship. Are we going to start entertaining the negatives? Are we going to look at things and say God can turn all things around for the good to those who love him? Are we going to begin to start renewing our thoughts and our heart and begin to look at the good rather than the bad? Are we going to begin to start looking at these things and begin to entertain the truth rather than the lies? Anything that is negative, anything that looks at things bad or wrong, is all from the dark side. I don't know how to make that any clearer. Darkness cannot say to you, it's going to be a good day. Darkness doesn't say to you, oh, you know, love that person anyhow. Darkness isn't going to say those things. Darkness is going to start talking negative. Oh my God, you better get that checked out. Oh my God, you better look into that. Oh my God, oh my God. It'll even say, oh my God. That's how cunning and smart these things are. They come in like, oh my God, and then begin to bring death. And death begins to knock at your door. In order for us to get on the road that God intends us to get on, which is deep inside our inner man, inner body, inner person, it's deep. It's inside of us. I could tell if you're connected with it by saying, do you know what you want? And if you got to give me more than a minute to think about it, you're not connected. What do you want? What are you looking for? Man, you ask me, I'm going to tell you real quick. I'm looking for happiness. I'm searching for some peace. And don't lay any guilt on me. I'm going to tell you that much, because I'm desiring to clothe myself with righteousness. Even if I'm not right, I'm right. Please, I'm doing the best I can. You see what I'm saying? You ask me, and I will tell you in seconds what I'm looking for. What do you want? I can tell you in seconds what I want. What do you want? What do you want? Ask yourself that. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Because when you seek this, when you seek, right away, I want joy. I don't care. I want peace. I want happiness. When you seek that, happiness comes. It might be an individual that you're looking for to spend some time with, but it comes in a form of happiness. Dee, 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 dee. Here comes happiness. He has blonde hair with a ponytail, little ponytail. Hi, would you like to spend some time with me? I think you're awesome. Ooh, I found happiness. Peace comes this way. Peace might be replacing that broken down car that you're always complaining about, and all of a sudden you want a brand new one. Woo, I got peace. But you seek peace first. Peace transforms into what you really are looking for, I guess, to make you have peace. Joy transforms into that blonde head ponytail kid, you know? Happiness. How many people are grabbing what I'm saying? Those elements right there transforms your life. And it materializes to make you peaceful, makes you joyful, makes you happy. It can take those brown teeth and turn them white. Peace, joy, happiness. When you don't entertain those things, I'm going to tell you right now, it robs and don't turn them white. It robs and steals. It doesn't bring that one that you're looking for. It robs, it steals, it destroys. It robs, it steals, it destroys. What does it do? That's right. Know that. Know it. But peace and joy and happiness. And I'm going to throw righteousness in there. And I know it's a little hard thing for you to grab a hold of what righteousness is. And I'm going to lay this out. Are you doing the best you can? Are you doing the best that you can? And if you answered yes, guess what? You just put on the cloak of righteousness. And you wear it and you hold it tight and don't let anyone take it off you. If you're doing the best you can, then you have just put on the cloak of righteousness. Please understand this mystery. But what we're not holding is the peace and the joy and the happiness. They bring the powers of creation. And I'm going to tell you, the negatives bring the powers of creation too. And the difference between the two is the powers that I told you in the light, happiness, peace, and joy, brings the powers of creation that last in your heart, that saves yourself. The other powers of worry and fear and anxiety and all that bitterness and everything else brings in creation that destroys you. It keeps you away from what you really are looking for or obtaining. Please understand these things. Please. Because my desire for you is that your heart is filled, that you get everything that you want, that you work so hard for, that you desire so much. And then you say to yourself, why are my desires not being fulfilled? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because you're worshiping the wrong God. You're worshiping one that is stealing your desires and taking them away. We need to worship the true living God, the one who wants to bless us. And the one that wants to bless us is with happiness, peace, and joy. And if we don't enter into that realm, we are not going to have our heart's desires fulfilled. They're going to be robbed from us. They're going to be stolen from us. How many people are grabbing this message? Amen. Now let's apply it so our lives can be turned around. We need to turn around our lives. If you want to keep beating up against the wall, if you want to keep beating your head against the wall, you want to keep trying to fight this world that we're living in under your own strength, you will fail. And not only will you fail, you will settle for less. Don't settle for less. You only have so much willpower. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to enter into willpower. I might speak about that next week because we need to understand why sometimes we do achieve. But do you know that God wants us to achieve even better? He doesn't want us to just settle for just mediocre. He wants us to bring our visions higher. He wants to lift our visions higher. He wants to bring us up even higher. He wants us to always better ourselves. Amen? Amen. I want us to bow our heads for a moment. I want us to just think of His goodness. You know, you all once were lost, and now you're found. We're on a journey of being even found more. I want us to first just thank God. Because this song, I'll tell you, how great is our God? How great is our God? Is that in our heart? How great is our God? While we're just thinking about the greatness of God. I do. I want to call Sarah up for a moment. And if I can ask Sam to come on up here. God's going to change your life. You're on a pinnacle of change. There's a growth that is coming.